The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Mark Safty in honor of Meyer and Victoria Safty, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, on the birth of a new baby girl, Devasha, Devora, Bat Mazal, Behek, Yireh Elohim Tenaten. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Yud Bet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Marat Zekenati, Yafa Bat Sara. Le'ilu Nishmat Mor Zekeni, Yosef Ben Sara. ורבי אברהם בן אסתר רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן אמן ורפואה שלמה משה בן דינה שרה רוחמה בת רחל שרה בת רחל אין הרפנה להם ורפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתם קרבה לבו וכן ירצו ונאמר אמן. We are on יוד א' עמוד ב' and we are up to the דרשה ותירנה, the last word on the line, about 15 lines up. We're talking about the story of the Miyaledot, the Jewish midwives. We had a machloket actually who these midwives were. Either they were Yocheved and Miriam, or they were Yocheved and her daughter-in-law, Elisheva. So the Pasuk says that they did not listen. V'tirena ha-Miyaledot et ha-Elohim, ve'lo asu ke'asher diber alehin. So it says that the midwives did not listen, had fear of God, and they did not listen kasher diber alehin. Now, the Gemara's question is that alehin is mashma alashon of bi'ah, as relations. Like the Pasuk says, vayavo eleha. So the Gemara says, lahin miv'aleh. It should say in the Pasuk that the midwives feared God, velo asu kasher diber lahin, to them. Alehin is mashma something regarding a relation. So the Gemara says, "Amar bi Yosef bi Hanina melamed shetavan ledvar avera velo nitbi'u." Paro actually solicited Shifran Pua for an avera. Velo shama alehin. They did not listen to Paro regarding the bi'ah, the avon that he wanted to commit with them. The reason why he would do that is he figured that once he goes with them, so now they'll be close to him and they'll listen to his will to kill the Jewish children. And they could imagine the pressure that they were under. This is the king, and still they did not buckle. They had fear of God. Ve'lo shama alehin. They did not listen for the bi'ah. Ve'tehayena et ha'iladim, and they gave life to the children. Tana. לא דיין שלא המיתו אותן, אלא שהיו מספיקות להן מים ומזון. Not only didn't they kill the children, but they brought life to the children. They provided them water and sustenance. That's what the Pasuk says. ותחיינה את הילדים. They actually gave the children life. ותאמרנה מילדות אל פרעה, כי לא חנשים. And when פרעה came along and said, hey, what's going on over here? Come here and listen. So their excuse was, which means the Jewish children, the Jewish wives, are not like the Egyptian wives. They are hayot. Now the Gemara's question now is, what is the word hayot? What was their excuse? So the Gemara says, my hayot. If you mean to say that they were saying that the Jewish wives, all of them are like midwives, meaning all of them are experienced atu haya milo tzlicha haya achariti the ulvada, doesn't a midwife need another midwife to help them give birth? Which is, even if a person's a midwife, you still need somebody else to
to help you. So therefore, that excuse doesn't hold. But they're coming along and telling, but they're all midwives. So what? They still need somebody to... Their claim was that for some reason the Jewish women, they give birth on their own. They don't need any help. So what does Hayot mean? Ela amru lo, they told Paro, umazu ki hayanim shela. So no, they're like, this nation, the Jewish people, have been compared to animals. For example, Yehuda gur ariyeh, dan yehidan nahash, naftali ayala shiluha, it's a gazelle. Yisachar hamor garim, Yosef bechor shoro, Binyamin ze'ev yitraf, right, a wolf. Dikhtiv be ketiv be. Now the ones that are explicitly have an animal attached to them, okay, fine. Dilo ketiv be. And the ones that do not have an animal attached to them, we have a general pasuk. Ketiv ma imecha lavi ben arayot lavsa. The pasuk compares Klai Yisrael to like a lion. And therefore, just like an animal doesn't need anybody to help them, assistance when they're giving birth, so to the Jewish ladies, they give birth like animals, which means they don't need any help. So that before we get to them, they already have given birth already. Good. Actually, the Jewish people in this passage refer to a lioness. It would be a livia. So as a result, God rewarded the yaledot for the fear of God, and He made for them homes. So the Gemara says, Ravu Shmuel, had amar batik keunav leviya, that the families of the Kohanim and the Leviim descended from them. Had amar batim malchut. And others say it was the kings that descended from them. Had amar batik keunav leviya, Aaron and Moshe. That's right. Which means from Yocheved came Aaron and Moshe. Aaron is the Kohanim and Moshe is the Leviim. Had amar batim malchut, David namim Miriam ka'ate. David HaMelech actually descended from Miriam, that's already Batei Malchut. Dichtiv, Vatamot Azuba. It says that a lady called Azuba died. Azuba was actually the wife of Kalev. Kalev was married, Kalev ben Yefuneh was actually married to Miriam. And her name was, a lot of names for these people besides the names that we're familiar with, they called her Azuba. Azuba means somebody that was left. She was azuf, she was neglected, so to speak. She was abandoned. Miriam was a very sick woman. And therefore, everybody abandoned her. Nobody wanted to marry her. Nobody wanted to, you know, to get involved. So it says they called her Azuba, the abandoned one. So, Vatamut Azuba, Vayikat lo Kalev et Efrat. So, he took a lady called Efrat. Now, the Gemara is going to tell us that Efrat is also another name for Miriam. Efrat is Melashon Lahar Shenitrapet. What do you mean? She got better. She had a refuah after they got married, and she went back to a healthy self. Vatelid lo et chur, and they had chur. Now we know chur from the Torah. Right? Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur. That was Bezalel's grandfather, and whose mother now we're seeing was Miriam. Now continue. Uchtiv veDavid ben Ish Efrati. And the pasuk refers to David as the son of Efrati. Now we just said Efrat was the name of Miriam, so Efrati means he actually descended from Miriam and Caleb. So therefore, you see that kings came out as well. It's interesting to note over here. It comes out according to the calculations that they make over here. According to the calculations, it makes sense according to the years that Kalev must have gotten married at about 8 years old, because in the year that he went to do the spy mission, Kalev, he was 40 years old. And we know that Bezalel, his grandson, right, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lematei Yehuda, actually was Hur's grandson, it was Kalev's great grandson. Kalev, right, and then Hur, and then Uri, and then Bezalel. Bezalel was like 12 years old when he built the Mishkan. So that means he was ready, and the Mishkan was built in the second year. So make the Hezbonot already. In the second year, when he was 40 years old, already he had a great grandchild that was 12, 13 years old. Because in a very short amount of time, he brought many generations to the world. So to make this whole calculation, he must have been very young, like 8 years old, when he started having children. But that's neither here or there. The point is, why would this be the reward for the Yocheved and the Miriam? Because they saved the children, so they got the houses of Kehuna, Leviya, Malchut. So the Mefarshim say, because they saved the boys. And our religion, Judaism doesn't go after the boys. Judaism goes after the Jewishness, goes after the mother. What goes after the father? Lineage. The lineage meaning Kohanim, Leviim, Malchut, that's decided by the father. So therefore, which is, even if the mother's a Kohenet and the father's Israel, the kid's Israel. Right? That Yehus type goes after the father. So therefore, Midah Keneged Midah. You save the boys. So your reward is you're going to have to, a lineage that goes after the boys. Kohanim, Leviim, and Malchut. Comes the, as the Brisker Rav says, comes the Gemara and says, now the Gemara is going to be Doresh, a little from the book of Devarei HaYamim. Devarei HaYamim talks about the different history of our people, and a lot of times in Devarei HaYamim, the names that you see over there are not familiar at all to us. But according to the Gemara, a lot of those names are repeats, people that we know already, just that in Devarei HaYamim, the Pesukim discuss different aspects of their personalities, and therefore chose different names to refer to them. So the Pesuk says over here, Kalev ben Hesron. There was a fellow Kalev, well, Kalev we know. Ben Hesron. And right away, we know Kalev as ben Yefuneh. And here the Devarei HaYamim is calling him ben Hesron. Holid et Azubah. He gave birth to Azubah. We just learned earlier he married Azubah. Now it's saying he bore Azubah, Isha, as a wife. Ve'et Yiriot and Yiriot. Ve'elle Baneha. And these are the children that they had. And their children's names are Yesher, Veshova, Ve'ardon. So the Gemara's question is Ben Hesron, Ben Yifunehu. Why did the Pasuk refer to him as Ben Hesron? We know he's Kaleb Ben Yifuneh. So the Gemara says Ben Shepana Me'asat Meragelim. Yifuneh really wasn't his father's name. Yifuneh really means the one that turned away. He turned away from the idea from the plot of the spies. So really, Kalev's father's name was Hesron. Kalev ben Hesron. But we call him Yefuneh as a nickname, as the one that turned from the plot of the spies. So comes the Gemara and says, Va'akateh ben Kenazu. I said, wait. Still that's wrong. We know that he was the son of Kenaz. Kalev ben Kenaz. Who's Kenaz? So the Gemara says, Dikhtiv, Vayilkeda Otniel ben Kenaz, Ahi Kalev. There was a leader in Klai Yisrael, his name was Otniel ben Kenaz, who was a great Tamid Chacham. And the Pasuk refers to Otniel ben Kenaz as a brother of Kalev. So Otniel ben Kenaz, that means Kenaz was the father of Otniel and of Kalev. So really, how could you tell me his father was Hesron, and Chaurah's father was Kenaz? That's the Gemara's question. Amar Rava Horgo de Kenaz Hava. He was his half-brother. Which means his father got... his mother got remarried, and therefore they had the same mother, and therefore it calls him Ben Kenaz. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Horgo de Kenaz, bottom line of Rashi. Ben Ishto Shel Kenaz Haya Kalev Venimsa Otniel Achiv Me'imo. So really his father was indeed Hesron. And the Gemara says Daika Nameh. Makes sense to say like this. Dikhtir Akinizi Shma Minna. Right, it doesn't say Ben Kenaz when it comes to Kalev. It calls him the Kinizi. Otniel, it refers to him as Ben Kenaz. He was the son of Kenaz. But Kalev, it calls him Ben Akinizi. You know, the one of the one that was related to Kenaz, which is not calling him the son, it's calling him he was related. It was his stepfather. Correct. Okay, he grew up in his house, that's the point. He was raised by him. Azubah, Azu Miriam. Now the Pasuk says that he took Azubah. Who's Azubah? Miriam. Velama nekra shema Azubah, shakol azbuha mitchilata. Okay, they all left her. Why did they leave her? As she says in the second line, she mitchila honanitaita. Right, in the beginning she was sick. Kedekari la'acha yiri'ot. I was going to say she was green, she was sick, she was weak. Nobody wanted to marry her. So they called the Azuba. Holid valu min savava, which means nasivla. Why does it say he gave birth to? It says holid it Azuba. It should say he married her. Amar of Yohanan kolan nosi isha l'shem shamayim ma'ale alav v'katuf kilu yilada. Anybody that marries a lady l'shem shamayim like Kanevdid, he saw that she was a tzaddiket. Actually, she saw, he followed the rule. He saw the brothers. The brothers of Miriam is Moshe and Aaron. And therefore, he wants the Sigulav, what the rabbis tell us, that when you marry, you look at the wife's brothers, and you see, the tzaddikim. So therefore, she did it l'shem shamayim. Oh, so since he did it l'shem shamayim, the reason why they said it is because the majority of the children go after and become like the mother's brothers. Rov banim olchim ahar ahei ha'em. So that's what he did. He went to look at such a thing, and the Shem Shosh was as if he gave birth to, which is a big zechut. Yidi'ot, now he refers to as Yidi'ot, you know, those like curtains. That's a reference to Miriam. What do you mean she was like a curtain? So it says, Shayu panea domim li Yidi'ah, or li Yidi'ot. Curtains before they were dyed. She had a very pale complexion. That was part of her sickness. She didn't have any color, no redness in her face. Ve'elde baneha. And these were her children. These are the traits that built her. Meaning, her husband, Caleb, was a tzaddik, which built her. Which means when a lady marries a tzaddik, so obviously that reflects also on her. So these are the qualities that Caleb had that actually were a building for her, a constructive concept for her. What were they? Yeshir, she yeshir et atzmo. Yeshir, he straightened himself out from going... from turning off on the idea of the meragelim, shovav sheshivev et yitzro, shivev et yitzro, which means he, rebelled, we'll say, against his inclination. Also, when it came to the meragelim, he was disobedient, right? He didn't pay attention, he didn't listen. The Erdon was referring to sherada et yitzro. Okay, rada was he. Subjugated his yetzerara, right? Disciplined it, good. Not to turn from to the meragim. So these are all names giving the traits of Kalev. V'ika de amri al chayu panea domin leverid, and say that her face, she was called the Ardon, because her face was similar to a verid. What would be a verid? It's like a rose. Which kind of, she had a redness after she was healed. And before she was healed, she was white, or pale, or green. After she was healed, she got a color back to her face, so she was Ardon. She looked like a rose. Ul ashhur abi tekoa. Give us quoting the pasuk now. They're also in the Devar Hayamim. Ul ashhur abi tekoa ayu shete nashim chela v'na'ara. Okay, who's ashhur? Who are these people? Gemara, Ashur ze Kalev. Ashur is actually Kalev, another name for Kalev. Ve'lamma nikra shemu Ashur, shushheru panav beta'anuyot. Because his face became blackened from fasting, that he shouldn't fail in the Aitza of the Meragelim. Seems that he knew that they were up to something, but he didn't want to get caught into their trap. So he fasted. Many fetanuyot, so they called him Ashur. The one that's face became blackened from the ta'anuyot, from the fasts. Abi shenaasa la keev, which means it calls him avi tekoa. What is avi tekoa referring to? So he says over here shenaasa la keev. He became a father to Miriam. Because she was sick, so he needed to nurse her, he needed to tend to her, and all that. So he's considered a father keev. And the pasuk says tekoa. Again, Takahi, he strengthened, or Tekoa means he planted himself strong in the service of his father in heaven, not to get drawn after the Atza of the Meragelim. Hayu Shetei Nashim. So he had two wives. Na'asa Miriam Kishtei Nashim. It was Miriam, actually. Miriam was like two wives. Hel'a v'na'ara. Right, which means she was in one stage of her life, hela, the Gemara is going to say she was sick, and then she became healed. She was like a naara. She went back to becoming like a young lady. Hela v'naara havai. Hela v'naara havai. Was she two ladies? Gemara says yes. Ela b'tchila hela. ulbesof na'ara. Initially, she was chola, she was sick, and then if she got better, she became like a nera, she became young again. Ubnei chela'ah, now the pasuk continues, and the children of chela'ah, seret, v'sohar, v'etnan. These are the children now. So the Gemara says, seret, shena'asit sara l'havruteha. These are all names of Miriam, by the way. These are all her traits. She became a tsara to her friends, which means her friends became jealous of her. After she got better, she was very, very pretty. And therefore, there was she became a tzara. She became like a co-wife that's jealous of each other. So therefore, that's what she was to her friends. That she says mitkanot beyofia. They were jealous of her beauty. Sohar shayu paneh domim ketzahoraim. After she got better, her face was glowing like the sun in the afternoon. Etnan could also mean a gift. Why would they call Miriam Etnan? Shekol haroe ota molich etnan leishto. Anybody that would see her, the pleasure would arouse in him, so he would go appease his wife and give his wife a gift, a matana etnan, because the ta'ava would get into the person by looking at the beauty of Miriam, so he would want to be with his wife. So he'd go over now, appease his wife, and give his wife a gift. Vaisav paro lechol ammo. Okay. Now we go back to the Dirashot. After we finish with Kalev and Miriam and all that business, we go back now to some of the Dirashot by Paro and the Gezerot that he made against Klai Yisrael. Now, the Gezerot we're discussing over here is Vaisav paro lechol ammo lemor kol haben hayilod hayora tashlichu. Right? Any boy that was born, which means the first plan was that to kill them on the birthing stool. That was the first plot. That was in order to limit the population. Right, havan et hakemalo pinirbe v'ayaki tikrena milchama. They were worried about the population explosion, so therefore they said, "Okay, we're gonna kill the boys." Incidentally, v'chol abat tehayun. They wanted the girls to remain alive. The mefarshim say because the Egyptians were shitufei zima, they were involved in immorality, so they wanted to defile the Jewish girls. That's why specifically in that gezerah they said keep the girls alive. If you think about it, it makes no sense. If you want to limit the population, you kill the girls. You don't keep the girls alive, because even though you have a limit of population of boys, each boy can go and marry many wives and bring many children into the world. So therefore you see that they had an immoral plot as well to take the Jewish girls and defile them, which of course never came to fruition. The girls did not, that was one of the things that they were shomer themselves on. In any event, it says, you see over here that he even made a gezerah on his own people. The Gezerah started with the Jewish people, and then it ended even on the Muslim. They want to have to take their kids and throw them into the water. Ve'amar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, Shalosh Gezerot Gazar. Okay, there were three Gezerot basically that Paro ruled against the Jewish people. Number one, Betchila im benhu v'amiten oto. That's the killing the children, the boys at the birth stool. Ulbesof kol haben hayilod hayora tashlichu. That's taking all the Jewish boys and throwing them into the Yor. And then the last one was, Besof af al amo gazar. Like, even on his nation, he was going there. We'll see exactly why. But you see, the Gezerah even applied to the Egyptians as well. Because we're going to see that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Tzitagninim, the stargazers of Paro, said, we saw that the leader that's going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt was born. We're not sure if he's Jewish or Egyptian. See, they didn't see good because he was raised in Paro's house. So the clarity of their vision was not so good. They didn't know if he was Jewish or Egyptian. You know, Paro said, kill all the Egyptian boys as well. Just so for sure, we're able to root out the Jewish Moshiach. Okay, Vayelech ish mebet Levi. Okay, now we discuss the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is the man from Levi, came, that's Amram. And he took a lady from Levi, right? That was his aunt, actually, which was a lady called Yocheved. Vayikach et Bat Levi. So the brother says, Lehechan alach. It says, Vayelech. Where did he go? It says, Amar Rav Yudah bar Zvina shalach ba'atzat bito. He followed the advice of his daughter. It's the famous story over here where he was married to Yocheved, but then divorced and then got remarried. Tana, Amram gadol ador haya. He was the gadol ador, and everybody would listen to him because he's the gadol ador. You know, everybody would listen to his rulings. Kevan, what's that? Gima in the Hagahot. Kivan Shegazar, Paro Arasha. Right, once they made the gezerah, they have to throw all the boys in the water. Amari said, "Lashav anu amelim." What are we doing? We're wasting our time having children. What are we bringing children into the world for? To kill them? Amad v'girish et ishto. So he got up and he divorced his wife. Amdu kulan v'girishu et ishtehem. Everybody got up as well, but he followed them. Gadol ador, and they also divorced their wives. Amra lo bito. So Miriam came to her father and said, "Abba, kashe gezeratcha yotem mishur paro. Your gezerah is even more harsh than paro." Sheparo lo gazar ela al zecharim, v'ata gazar ta al zecharim v'alan kebot. Paro lo gazar ela be'olam hazeh, v'ata be'olam hazeh ul olam abba. Paro rasha sefek mitkayimah gezerotav sefek ena mitkayimet. Ata tzadik, bevaday shegezeratka mitkayimet shneimar, tegzar omer v'yakim lach. Told her father three claims. Number one, your gezerah is worse because you're going to kill the girls also. Paro is only going after the boys. Your gezerah by abstaining and having children, you're taking away the girls as well. Number two, Paro's gezerah is in this world, but your gezerah already affects Olam Abba, because a child, in order to get to Olam Abba, has to come down to this world first. If the neshama doesn't come down here, can I go to Olam Abba? So therefore, you're taking away the eternity of these children. And number three, Paro's gezerah, we're not sure it's going to be even fulfilled. Your gezerah, you're a tzaddik. If you say it's going to be fulfilled. So it says, what happened? Amad v'azir et ishto. He took back his wife. He listened to the argument of his daughter. Amdu kulan v'azir et nishotehem. Everybody else listened again, and they took back their wives. V'yikach v'yachzor mev'ele. So if that's the pasuk shouldn't say v'yikach et batlevi. It should say v'yachzor, he returned her. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zivina she'asadu ma'asir l'kuhin. That no, he made her another wedding, like it was the first time. Hoshiva v'apiryon. Which means, he put her in an apiryon. Apiryon is like a carriage. They used to put the kalot in, and then they got married. The Aaron and Miriam merakedim lefaneha. They made a wedding. And their children, Aaron and Miriam, were dancing in front of the new couple that were married already, right? But they got remarried. Umalech sharet amru, and the Malech sharet was singing, Em habbanim semiha, the mother of the children who is happy. So therefore you see what? You see that indeed, that's why it says vayikah. He took her in the second marriage. He made it like it was the first likurin, and if we made the simcha, the apiryon, and the whole simcha, et bat Levi. Okay, so he married Amram, the daughter of Levi. If shar bat me'ah u'shloshim shana, we have the kali lebat. Well, Miriam Yocheved at this point was 130 years old. It's hard to refer to as bat Levi, the daughter of Levi. I mean, she was already, you know, on standards, could be considered like an old lady. So what does it mean, Bat Levi? It was the Amar of Hamab Rahanina, Zu Yocheved, Shehorata Bederich. This was Yocheved that on the way down to Egypt, when the Yaakov and his family came down to Egypt, she was Levi's daughter. So Levi's wife conceived her on the road, Veledata Benahomot, and she gave birth on the border. As they entered Egypt, she was actually the 70th soul. Because it says 70 souls came down to Egypt, she was the 70th. Chineimar Asher Yaleda Otali Levi Mimislaim. Right, the Levi bore her in Mislaim. So the Gemara says, Ledata Bimislaim. Her birth was in Mislaim. Ve'en Horata Bimislaim. But her conception was not in Mislaim. Her conception was on the road. And we can calculate it that she was actually 130 years old at this point when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Very simply, we know the Jewish people were in Mislaim for 210 years. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was 80. When he took him out. So therefore, 210 minus 80 is 130. That means at this point, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, it was 80 years before the redemption. So that puts Yocheved at 130 years old. There's a famous Ibn Ezra that asked the question, you know, she gave birth 130 years old. That's a phenomenal miracle. How come the Torah doesn't make such a big deal of it like it makes it of Sarah? You know, when Sarah had a baby at 90, yeah, that was already big news. How come the Torah doesn't make a big deal that Yocheved had Moshe 130 years old? Ibn Ezra answers that was common in those days. In Sarah Emenu's time, that was a relatively, it was a miraculous thing. Therefore, the Torah makes a point of it. But already in Mislaim, the ladies were giving birth even at that old age. Therefore, it wasn't noteworthy like in the times of Sarah. Amar of Yehuda, Shenoldu ba simane na'arut. The reason why it's called Bat, which means Bat Levi, because she was like a adult, she was like a girl, which means she became rejuvenated. She got her blood of Nida back, all the wrinkles of her face went away. So therefore they considered like a daughter, even though she was 130 years old. Bat Nevi, she went back to becoming fresh. Vatar Aisha Vatil Ibn. Says, and she gave birth and she had a child. Veha hava me'abra be tlata yarche me'ikara. Right. The problem is over here. It says he got remarried to Yochevet. It says she conceived Vatar Vatilid. Now we're going to learn the Gemara that the conception of Moshe Rabbeinu was actually when they were married the first time. She was already pregnant with Moshe for 3 months. Then they got divorced. Then they got married. So therefore the Pasuk is not accurate when it says that they got remarried, she conceived and gave birth. No, she didn't conceive at that time. She was already pregnant from before. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zvina makish ledata dehorata. Ma horata shelo betzar af ledata shelo betzar. It's just trying to tell you that it's comparing the time of conception or the time of her birth to the time of conception. That when she had Moshe, there was no pain, just like at the time of conception. Therefore, you're right, she conceived earlier. But we're putting Vatar Vatilid together to show you that she was a tzaddik at Yocheved. That just like the conception was painless, so too the birth was also painless. Mikan lenashim tzadkaniyot shelo ayu befitka shel hava. Here we learn that the righteous ladies, they are not included in the punishment of hava. Which means they give birth without any pain, because the pain of childbirth came from where? From the curse of Hava. And therefore there are ladies that, there was one lady specifically, that there was, that she, here's stories, just so you know that the concept exists, that a lady, that the doctors told her she has to remain in bed the entire 9th month. Why? Because she had no labor pains. Wow. She would not even feel when the baby would just come out. So therefore, you see, there are certain ladies that they're not even involved in the curse. Obviously, Yocheved was one of them. Vatere oto kitofu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So what does the pasuk say? She sees that he is good. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer Tov Shemo. Some say no, that was his name. She named him Tov. Kitofu. Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tuviya Shemo. And actually, his name was Tuviya. Tovya. Rabbi Nechaviya Omer Hagun leNeviut. Tov means she saw that he would be befitting and worthy for prophecy. She saw Ruach HaKodesh, that he's going to be Ra'ui for prophecy. Ahirim omrim nolad kishihu mahul. He was born circumcised. Vatere oto kitovu. He was complete. He did not need a circumcision. V'achamim omrim b'sha'ar shenolad Moshe nitmale habayit kulo or. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole tent became filled with light. It says in Bereshit, "Vayar Elohim et ha'or kitov." So you see what tov is referring to, the light. But it's Beneu Shelosha Yirahim. Now she hid Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months. Why? Now the Chaura, how did she get these 3 months? Delo manu misrayim ela mishaa de'adera vihi havat me'abera betlata yerche me'ikara. They thought that she conceived once they got married the second time. So they started counting the 9 months from the marriage. They didn't know that she was already pregnant 3 months before, 3 months prior. So therefore, she gave birth 9 months, but after 6 months already, after the second marriage, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu emerged. They didn't come and inspect the house until 3 months later. That's why she had 3 months where she was able to hide Moshe until the 3rd month. They took Moshe and they had to, you know, put him in the Yam Suf. But that's why you have that gap of 3 months, because they didn't realize that she conceived during the first marriage. Good. Gemara says Velo Yachila Oda Sefino. She couldn't hide him anymore. Why not? Amai. Tispina v'tezil. Why can't she continue hiding? Let her continue hiding and go. Ela kolecha davu shem'ay misled mitalid yinuka. Anytime the Egyptians would hear that a child was born, memte yinuka hatam. They would bring little children, little Egyptian children over there. Ki echi delishme'inhu. So they would start crying. Ume'ave. And that would cause the kids that were in hiding to cry. When a baby hears another baby crying, they also cry. So that was their method of rooting out all the Jewish children. They would bring little Egyptian children, cause them to cry. And all of a sudden you hear some crying coming from the closet. So they were able to tell that somebody's there. So therefore they knew that the inspector's going to come soon. So therefore she had to take Moshe Rabbeinu out and put him somewhere else. Dichtiv, like it says in the Pasuk, when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, Ehezulanu shu'alim, shu'alim, chitanim. Right? Mechabedim kiramim. It says Ehezulanu. It says the Egyptians, that is, they... right? They brought these little foxes. Who are these little foxes? These little Egyptian children they brought into the houses. Mechabedim kiramim. The ones that destroy the vineyard. They came and brought these little Egyptian children to destroy the children of Klal Yisrael. Vatikach lo tevat gome. Okay, she took a teva. She made a little box to put Moshe Rabbeinu in it. The box was made out of gome. Gome is reeds. Very cheap, like a wicker basket. So the Gemara says, Maishina gome. Why did she choose gome? Why such a cheap item? Amar ben Azar mikan letzadikim shemamonam haviv adhem yoter megufam. The tzadikim, their money is precious to them. And therefore, she didn't want to spend on regular wood. She spent a cheaper thing. Now, obviously, she did not risk Moshe Rabbeinu's life. There's no chokmah to save money to risk the child's life. Ela, without risking his life, but she used an item, like you say, was sufficient. Now, why is their money so dear to them? You're not supposed to have such a connection to your money. So Gemara says, v'chol kach lama. Why is it so dear to them? Lefi she'en poshtan yedem begezer. Because they earn their money honestly. They don't steal. And therefore, to them, it's very precious because they don't use any shortcuts in making their money. They earn their money honestly, and therefore took time to earn that money. So therefore, it's really saying their time is precious to them. And since you to what Asha, his money is not so precious because he can go steal it quickly and easy come. You know, he doesn't have to invest too much. But the tzaddikim, they earn their money honestly, and therefore, you know, they're very careful how they spend it because it took a lot of their time. So really, it's the time that takes in making honest money that is dear to the tzaddikim. Therefore, when they spend it cautiously. Comes Gemara and says, Rav Ushmuel ben Chamani Amar Davar Rach, Shiachol La'amod Bifne Davar Rach, U Bifne Davar Kashe. Another reason why they picked the reed basket, wicker basket, because it's flexible. It's able to stand in front of, you know, soft like the water. But if a rock would hit it, it would like, there's a give. Masha'enkin, if they would use regular wood from a regular tree, if the rock would hit it, it could puncture it. And make, it doesn't have any give. So there was a logic why she was wicker. Because it has a little flexibility, right? So therefore, if a rock hits it, as I said, or something like that in the water, it will not destroy it. Batachmina bachemar ubatzafet. Right? She pitched it with tar. Right? So it says, Tana, Hamar mebifnim, vezefet mebachutz, kedeh shelo yariach oto tzadik reyach ra. Which means she put the zefet, that's like the tar, she had to waterproof it. So she put the tar, the pitch on the inside, and she put the tar on the outside. The tar smells. Why'd she do that? Why'd she put the zefet on the outside? Because she didn't want the tzadik to have to smell, the bad odor of the... of the Zefet. Vatasim ba et hayeled, vatasim basuf. Double language. She put him in the basket, vatasim basuf, and put him in the suf, in the water. Rabir azar amir, yam suf. Okay, what was this referring to? What is the suf actually? Suf is yam suf. Not the sea of reeds, that's the yam suf. Rav Shmuel ben Chamani amar agam. Oh, it was a regular, like a swamp. That has reeds in it. Kedichtiv, kane vasuf kamelu. Right, that's a pasuk over there that calls the any swamp river has a kanim in it. So therefore, when it says the suf is reeds, not necessarily yam suf. It was a river, or swamp that he was placed into it. Good. Vateret bat paro lirchot sadayot. Okay, now let's continue the story. So he's floating. Okay. She went to bathe. The daughter of Parot's Batya. She went down to the water to bathe. Amar of Yohanan Meshuv to Bishom and Yohai Menamed she had done lirchotz megidulei aviha. She went to actually bathe and clean herself from the avodah zara of her father. Something came into Batya's mind to go down and convert. So therefore, when she went down to the water, she was actually dipping in the mikveh l'shem gerut. She was bathing and cleansing herself from the Avodah Zarah of her father. Says, V'chenu Omer, Imrahat Sashem Etzoat Benot Zion. You see that when somebody cleanses themselves from spiritual impurities, that's called bathing. Like the Pasuk says that the Benot Zion bathe themselves from their so'ah, from their sin, from their excrement, which is the spiritual excrement. So therefore you see why it's called bathing. V'na'arotea Olchot. It says, and who went down with her? Her na'arot, her maids. Amar Rav Yohanan, En halichazu ila lashon mitah. Oh, when it says Na'aroteha Holchot, this means that they actually died. Holchot over here is Melashon Mita, like it says, like we're going to see. Why did she die? Actually, why did they die? V'chenu omer, Hine Anuki Holech Lamut. Right, that's by Esav. Esav says, Hine Anuki Holech Lamut. You see the one Halicha, sometimes it's connected to death. V'tere et ha-teba betoch ha-suf. Now, she saw the teba, this is Bacha, when she's down there in the water. She sees the teba and like caught up in the reeds over there. Kevan dehazu dekabau laatzulei leMoshe. When her maid servant saw that she's making an effort to save Moshe, amru da givirtenu. You know, my mistress, our mistress, minhago shel olam. The way of the world is melech basar vadam gozer gezera. Im kol haolam kulo en mekaimim ota banav ubnei beto mekaimim ota. When a king makes a decree, maybe everybody else in the world doesn't follow the decree, but at least his own children are going to follow the decree. He made a decree to kill the children. What are you going to say? You're going to defy your father's will? Right, you're going against your father's will. So the na'arot were trying to talk Batya out of it. Gavriel came and took all the na'arot and smashed them on the ground. Killed them. He didn't want them to dissuade. But Paro, Habatan de Karka. But the Shlach et Amata, but the Kahaya. So she sent out her Amma and grabbed the basket. Machloket, what this means. Rabbi would have Rabbi Nehemiah. Had Amar Yada. Some say Amata means her hand. The Had Amar Shifchata. She sent her a maidservant to go and retrieve it. So either Amma is a hand or Amma is a maidservant. Man Amar Yada, Dichtiv. Amata. According to him, if it was referring to a maidservant, it would have said Shifhata. And the fact that it says, but it's not Amata, and Ama is a hand. Umad Amar Shifhata, Midilo Ketiv Yada. He said, no, if it was the hand, it would have said Yada. So the fact that it was Ama, Ama is like a maidservant. Now, Umad Amar Shifhata, Ha Amad Bag Gavriel Bahavatan Bekarka. I thought you just said Gavriel killed all the maidservants. Where'd you get a maidservant from? So it says, Dishiyir La Hada. He left one for her. Why? They love Urha, the Bat Malkal, the Mekam, the Huda. It's not Derech Eretz for a princess to be alone. So if he left the one, it could be one of them was us. You're going to be concerned. Maybe that one over there is going to talk out of it. Now, one, when she's alone, won't talk out of it. When they have a group, they could pressure. But one alone, there was no concern that she's going to talk out. And another simple answer would be she saw what happened to the other ones. So therefore, she's not going to talk her out of it after she saw what happened to her friends. Ulman da Maryada. According to the opinion that says it was actually her hand, lichtov yada, say yada. What did it say? Amata. Say vaytushat yada. Hakamashmalan deishterbeb ishterbube. Amata meaning her hand extended. Damar mor vechen ata motzib b'amata shel bat paro vechen ata motzib b'shenid shayim. You find two extensions: the hand of the daughter of Paro when she went to reach for the teba was far away. She pulled the hand out. And it extended to bring the basket, as well as the teeth of Og Melech HaBashan. They also extended. Tichtiv Shenei Reshachim Shibarta. Amar Ishtakish Amtikre Shibarta Ela Shiribabta. When Og Melech HaBashan came to kill the Jewish people, he came, he lifted a mountain over his head, right? And he was about to throw it. The ants came and they bore a hole in the bottom of the mountain. And what happened? The mountain fell on Og Melech HaBashan's head. He tried to lift it off. God extended the teeth of Og into the mountain itself, so he couldn't lift it up. It was now lodged and connected to the mountain. So just like you have an extension of Og's teeth, there was an extension as well of Batya's hand. Rav Chaim Shmulevitzov has a famous idea. He says, he doesn't understand. What did she even extend the hand at all? It was so far away. She says, you know that if you're sitting and you want to get something 20 feet away, you don't extend it. You know you can't reach it. So he says, the explanation over here, that's all she was able to do. She knew that there's no other way she's going to be able to catch that retriever, so she went and extended herself as much as she can. So his rule is, once a person does whatever he's able to do, God takes over. Therefore, you see a lot of times where a person thinks that something is impossible. So they give up before they even try. And therefore, we learn from over here, you don't give up. You try as much as you can. Like the saying goes. And then Bore Olam takes over, which means success is not up to us. What's up to us is the effort. So as long as you make your effort, then already Bore Olam will open up new doors and things that you never thought of to make it happen. So you see over here a beautiful interpretation from the Hachamim when the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt. And the sea was splitting. It says, "Vayar Yisrael et yad gedola asher asa Hashem em Yisrael." So it says, "Vayar Yisrael," and the Jewish people saw et yad gedola asher asa Hashem em Yisrael. So the Mefarshim explain over here, what is this yad gedola? That when the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, they remembered the first miracle, how the Goalan Yisrael was saved. What was the first miracle? The extension of the hand of Bacha. So when they came to Kiryat Yamsu, they thanked God not only for the miracles that took place now, but for the miracles that took place in Egypt. Vayar Yisrael et hayad gedola. They remember the big hand, the outstretched hand of Bacha Pat Paro, and therefore they praised God for that as well. Vatiftach vatir'ehu et hayilid. Okay, now let's go. It says she opened the basket. Vatir'ehu et hayilid. Now vatir'ehu is like a double language. She saw and she saw. I should just say vaterim if I did. Just say and she saw once vaterim. Amar of Yosef and of Hanina she ra'ata shechina imo. So she saw two things. She saw Moshe and she saw the shechina with him. V'ine na'ar boche. Says and behold a lad was crying. Na'ar is like an older one. Kari le yelid ve kari le na'ar. Make up your mind. One pasuk says yelid, calls him a child, and one pasuk calls him a na'ar, a little older. Tana hu yelid ve kolo ke na'ar. He was a yelid, but his voice was very mature, like a na'ar. Amar lo Rabbi Nehemiah, imkin asito le Moshe Rabbeinu ba'almum. So what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. The Levi uses his voice. If the voice of the Levi is not proper, there's a flaw with it, so he's flawed. Now, that's not normal for a child to have a voice that's very deep, like a na'ar. Therefore, he says, what do you mean? According to your explanation, you made Moshe Rabbeinu ba'almum. You were poselim from the Levi. Because again, the voice has to be quite his age. It's not normal for a little baby to have a voice like a 15-year-old. Ela milamed she'asta lo imo chupat ni'urim bateba. Wow, Yocheved, she treated him like an older person. She thought she's never going to see his wedding. So therefore, what she did was a mother wants to make a chupa for a child. So she made in the teba itself like a mini chupa. Like a canopy for a wedding, they call that chupat ni'urim, the chupa of the ni'urim. That's what says na'ad. Amra shema lo iskin chupato. She said, maybe I'm not going to be zochet to see his wedding, so therefore I'll make him the chupa over here. And in truth of the matter is, what she said came true, because she did not see his wedding, because Moshe Rabbeinu got married in Midian. Vatachmol alav. So she had mercy. This bat had mercy on Moshe. Vatomen, and she said, mi yaldei ha'ivrim zeh. This child is Jewish. So Gemara says, "Minayeta." How did she know? Especially what we learned earlier, that Paro made the gezerah on all the people, right? The pasuk says that Vaisav Paro lechol amo, so the Egyptians are also in the water. So how did she know that he was indeed Jewish? Amar b'Yosef b'Yohanan shidata oto mahul. He was circumcised. Yeah, you might come along and say, "So maybe an Egyptian was more circumcised." Yeah, but she saw that even though he was once circumcised, they do have to still make piri'ah. They still needed to make. So she saw there was something done. If an Egyptian was born Mahul, they would not make any Piri'ah. So therefore, she knew that it must be Jewish from the Brit Mila. So it says, Miyaldea Ivrim Ze. Right? She says, this one. So the Gemara says, Amar Yohanan Melamechnet Nabea Shilom Midata. She made a prophecy without even knowing what she said. And she said like this, Ze Nofel Ve'en Acher Nofel. Amazing. She said, "This is the only one that went in was subject to the gezerah. It was the only basket that was in the water. No other child died. This is the one. What does it mean? This is the one that was the only one that was subject to the gezerah of kol ben ayilod hayora tashlichu. What does it mean? He was the only one that was in the gezerah. The hainu de'amar bi'el azan my dichtiv." The pasuk says like this regarding the false prophets of the Egyptians and the stargazers. V'hi yomiru alechem, dirshu et ha'ovot v'te yid'onim Hamitzefim. The pasuk is trying to belittle these soothsayers and these fortune tellers and things like that. He says, you're going to go to these people, Hamitzefim, they chirp. Vehamehagim tzofin ve'enam yudim matzofin. They look and they don't even know what they're looking at. Mehagim, they prophesize with their mouth, ve'enam yudim mehagim. Which means he's trying to show us that these stargazers of Paro, they saw something about the ultimate leader of Bnei Israel, but they didn't see good. Why? They saw in the stars that the ultimate redeemer of Israel is going to be punished by water. So therefore, Amdu v'gazuku labena yilod de'ora tashtichu. Says, okay, take all the boys, put them in the water. They will figure they're going to make the prophecy happen. Kevan deshadu ale Moshe. Amru tulo hazinan. Once they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the water, the stargazers came to Moshe and said, okay, we don't see it anymore. Which means, they came to Paro and they said, we don't see anything anymore. Which means, he's in. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Gezerah ended. Ki ha'u sibana, like the sign that they saw initially. So they said, batlu the Gezerotayu. So they were mevatel the Gezerah. Ve'im enam yud'im, but they didn't know. Sha'al mem b'ribahu loke. They saw wrong. It wasn't the water of Yam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu did get punished by the water. Which water? When he hit the rock. So you see, the prophets of the Goyim, they see, they don't know what they're seeing. They messed up. Which means they thought it's the waters, so they put him in the water. It wasn't that. It was the waters, the future, in the Meribah. So therefore, once Moshe Rabbeinu's basket hit the water, what did they say? Stop the Gezerah, it's over. Now, the Hainu the Amar of Hamab Rabbi Hanina, my dichtiv, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, what does it say? Hema memiriba asheravu. It says, this is the memiriba, right? The waters of quarreling, right? That they fought with Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says, asheravu. Hema shera'u. It's that's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu got punished by the water. So it says, Hema shera'u. It's tegnei paro v'ta'u. Right? They made a mistake. V'hainu deka'amar Moshe, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, shesh me'ot elef ragli, that there were 600,000 Jews ragli. What does ragli mean? On foot. But the Gemara's Doresh, Amar le Moshe l'Yisrael, b'shvili nitzaltem kolechem. Because of me, you were all saved. Ragli is another way of saying biglali. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu saved? Because of... how did Moshe Rabbeinu save all the Jewish people? He was saying, there was a gezerah on all of you. They were throwing the Jewish children into the waters. Once my basket hit the water, the Itzteknenim came along and said, okay, it's over. So therefore he says, Sheshmot elef regli. So he was telling the people, hey listen, your existence, you got to take me because I stopped the gezerah. Comes to Safot and says a phenomenal hadush of it. What do you mean? He caused the gezerah also. Mm-hmm. Great to take credit for stopping it, but whose fault was the Gezerah in the first place? Because you're Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw that you're going to be punished in the world, so they threw all the children in. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, fantastic, Hadush Ovi, and says, no. The first one that was thrown in the water was Moshe. So therefore, when the Gezerah started, the first basket was Moshe, and then the Gezerah stopped. So therefore, nobody died, according to Tosafot, in the Gezerah Paro of Kolabena Yilod, Hayora Tashlichu. Jeez, there was other things that Paro did, but this did not succeed. This going back now, we can understand. You understand what Miriam said. Miriam said to Amram, "You're a tzaddik. Your gezerah is definitely going to happen." Paro's rasha, safek mitkayim, safek eno mitkayim, and she was right. It was not mitkayim. His gezerah failed. It didn't happen. He made the gezerah. They threw one baby in. Ready. It's over. They don't agree anything. We got him. So therefore, he says he was saved. Baruch Adonai Amen.